What's up, everyone from all around the world, including Canada, USA, Long Island, plus the five boroughs of Brooklyn, Bronx, Manhattan, Staten Island, and Queens. I'm here to guide and help you about Anchor. Anchor is a free hosting site and phone app which is owned by Spotify. It's the easiest, awesome way to make a podcast. Why are you wasting your money paying for a hosting site to promote your podcast with limited storages? Forget about it. Let me break it down to you. There's creation tools that allow you to record, edit, monetize, add music, intros, music outros, especially distribute your podcast to streaming platforms, uploading episodes with unlimited storages of your podcast right from your phones, computers, laptops, and tablets. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Plus, you get paid some money in your pocket from sponsorships. Excellent. These are the keys you need to make a podcast, including the listeners supporting your show. That way, you can listen to the episodes of my show, Off the Meat Rack Chain's New York Podcast, the unfiltered comedy entertainment show about the stories mixed with entertainment news, music, real life segments, and much more. Now, where can you find, follow, and listen to the show, you ask? You can follow the podcast on Facebook and Instagram, all in one word, Off the Meat Rack Chain's New York Podcast. Alongside with my other show, Meticulous Vibe Juice Podcast, and my primary handle, G-Money Stacks 555 in Queens, New York. Now, the streaming platforms goes like this. We are on Anchor, Audio Burst, Breaker, Podorama, Listen Notes, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, Podchaser, Pocket Cast, Podcast Addict, Player FM, TuneIn, Reason FM. We are on Podfriend, Podorama, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. If you have a dream of creating and becoming a podcaster like myself and individual friends that is co-hosting with me, go download the free Anchor app or you can check out anchor.fm to get started. Take advantage of the opportunity that's thrown in your face. If I could do it and reach success, so can you. I'm G Money Stacks. Thank you for listening. Let's go. Good evening, everyone from the USA, all over the world, Canada, Long Island, plus the five spots of Brooklyn, Bronx, Manhattan, Staten Island, Queens. I'm your man, G Money Stacks, aka Lonely Nomad, aka the Gregonator, aka YouTuber. Also, the host with the most, and rookie podcaster of Queens, New York. And you are now tuning in and rocking with the 92nd episode of Off the Meat Rat Chains New York podcast. That's right, 9-2. In case you are new listeners and new watchers in the YouTube universe, if you miss any previous episodes whatsoever, don't worry, I got your back. All you need to do is go grab the subscribe button on the YouTube channel page, GMoneyStacks555. Make sure you enable alerts alongside with the notification bell. Leave a like and a comment alongside with more video content, upcoming episodes, previous episodes, and of course, you know, stay tuned for you know, any new updates. Of course, share the videos along with the episodes, download your favorite episodes, and I will go over the audio streaming platforms on the go at the end of the show. All right, first and foremost, before I even get into the transit stuff, man, let me do a little something right here that I would like to call hang on a second. I'd like to call mental health check-in. And this segment is about, you know, people's well-being as well as myself. And for those of you who may not know, this is basically about what people go through and stuff. And for the most part, you probably may not know, I've been having, you know, some conflicted stuff as far as like trying to figure out how to balance, you know, certain things that I'm doing as far as like not just going to work, but also doing what I love to do as far as podcasting and making a career out of it. And, you know, it's kind of hard to have a social life. You know what I mean? And many people have been. And I know certain people be asking me, how come I don't have a social life? But for the most part, I feel like, what's the point in putting your energy into people if you know they're not going to have time for you? You know what I'm saying? And that's just exactly how I feel. And, you know, for the most part, I realized from what I was basically I was thinking the other day that it has to do with, you know, time management. But sometimes you have to be careful on where you waste your energy and time with, because sometimes, you know, that individual may let you down and, you know, not meet up with you on that certain day, or probably get stood up like I have. So, you know, that's my take on the whole thing. So mentally, it's a challenge. And physically, I'm all right. And spiritually, I'm trying to hang in there as much as I can, despite the amount of patience being wasted. But I'll probably get through this though. So without further ado, this is a segment that I like to call the New York Mass Transit Files. And for those of you who may not know what that is, it's basically behind the scenes of what's going on behind mass transit, like MTA. You have MTA New York City Transit. You have, you know, the, you know, the subways, the buses, LARRs, and all that other stuff. But in this case, we got a serial killer on the fucking loose. And I'm pretty sure many of you may have heard this story before, but this has to do with a serial killer in Lower Manhattan who threatens to kill the victims for MetroCards. And my question to this shit is, I'll fill you in, folks. Okay. So, transit cops in Lower Manhattan need the public's help in finding a serial thief who threatened to kill women in order to steal their MetroCards at subway stations 3 times this past week. In each instance, police said the suspect confronted women at the mezzanines of either the Whitehall Street or the Rector Street stations and made a verbal threat to kill them if they didn't provide him with their MetroCard. Each time the crook successfully obtained the victim's passes without further harm or incident. Authorities said that the first robbery happened at 10:15 a.m. in the morning on November 3rd when the bandit stole a MetroCard from a 32-year-old woman at the Whitehall Street stop on the N&R subway line. He returned to the station the following day at 6:32 a.m. on November 4th and similarly robbed a 78-year-old woman of her MetroCard, police noted. Law enforcement sources said the perpetrator struck again 8 minutes later at 6:40 a.m. on November 4th, stealing a MetroCard from a 39-year-old woman at the Rector Street station on the One Line. On Friday night, the NYPD released video footage of the suspect obtained from the first incident. As shown, the perpetrator has a dark complexion and wore a black durag, a black surgical mask, a navy blue jacket, and green and black gloves. Okay, this is the thing how I feel about this shit though, man. And you mean to tell me that you are an African American person right now and you are stealing motherfucking MetroCards? What kind of person are you? Are you serious? Like, that's crazy. That's very crazy to me. And you and on top of that, you're making every person who is basically, you know, black and shit look bad by doing what you're doing. What is wrong with you? Are you really that stuck up because you had a bad day or whatever? Like, come on, son. Like, you gotta do better than that, man. For real. This is crazy, man. And I'm gonna have to give a little buzzer. I'm sorry, man. I gotta do this. And this is how I feel about this story. Anytime I hear about an African American doing stupid shit, especially threatening civilians over MetroCards or whatever case scenario may be, yo, listen, I'm going to do something right now, and that's the flush. Water go down the hole. Oh man, I had to do it though, man. All right, another mass transit news. Let's see. Yes, here we go. So New York public transit will get $10.85 billion in federal COVID-19 relief to keep service running and avoid layoffs after the governors of New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut reach an 11th hour agreement for how to divvy up the funds from Washington. Wow. As a result of a series of productive conversations with my fellow governors, I'm glad that we have reached an agreement that is beneficial to all, said Governor Kathy Hochul in a statement Tuesday, November 9th, which was last month. The New York City and tri-state region can't fully recover from the pandemic without our transit agencies effectively and efficiently moving millions of people in and out of New York City each day. Hochul and her counterparts, Governor Phil Murphy of New Jersey and Governor Ned Lamont of Connecticut, reached a consensus on how to allocate the almost $14 billion in funds from two bills, giving New York $10.85 billion, followed by $2.66 billion for the Garden State and $474 million for the Nutmeg State. The funds aim to support agencies whose riderships plummeted during the pandemic, leading to millions of dollars in revenue shortfalls. The three states argued for months on how to split up the public transit pie and had until Monday, November 8th to reach a deal and send it to the Federal Transit Administration or else lose out on an additional $2.2 billion in discretionary funding from the American Rescue Plan, signed by President Joe Biden in March. New York and New Jersey leaders were in disagreement on how much each state's agencies should get from the money coming from Coronavirus Response and Relief Supplemental Appropriations Act, signed into law by former Donald Trump in December, and the ARPA. Metropolitan Transportation Authority Acting Chief John Oliver has said the money should be divided up based on operating costs, as Congress proposed, while New Jersey and Connecticut pushed for the feds to use an FTA guidance that predated the pandemic and would have earmarked more money for those two states. The final deal is more in New York's favor, with New Jersey set to lose out on $1 billion, reported NJ.com. Murphy had been steadfast against the model Congress used over the past 10 months, while he was also running for re-election in a tight race against a Republican challenger. On Tuesday, Murphy said in a statement that getting the recovery funds was the top priority for the region's recovery. Nothing is more critical to our region's economy recovery than our mass transportation system. With this agreement, we ensure a reliable and safe commute as workers return to their offices, Murphy said. Compromise formula. Lieber of the MTA told reporters at an unrelated presser Tuesday that the states reached a compromise after New Jersey officials acknowledged they were getting $300 to $400 million from Philadelphia area commuters. End quote. We use a complicated formula called compromise formula, Lieber joked when asked how he got New Jersey to agree. they were getting a good chunk of money, and that played into how the compromise was reached, because they were comfortable in the end. Both sides got comfortable with the compromise. MTA officials now work to get the lion's share of the Empire State's allocation, but officials are still figuring out the exact distribution among local transit agencies, Lieber said. The authorities' original goal was to get $10.5 billion, and Lieber hoped to still hit that target with the newly unlocked funds. Yes, unlocked funds and the $2.2 billion in supplemental ARPA money the state can now apply for. There's still a little bit of allocation inside the state of New York that's ongoing, he said. We have an opportunity because of the supplemental, the $2.2 billion that's discretionary, to hit the $10.5, which has already been our goal. What about the infrastructure bill? The money is separate from the $10 billion the MTA is slated to get from the five-year $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill that just passed in the House on Friday, November 5th, which will go to funding more Americans with Disabilities Act, accessibility, and zero-emission buses. MTA will also compete for funding to support larger construction efforts like the extension of the 2nd Avenue subway, according to Lieber. While we don't know exactly what will be funded in every category, it's pretty likely the 2nd Avenue subway is going to be the first to benefit the transit, Big said. Biden's infrastructure bill also contains $24 billion targeting the transit improvements along the Northeast Corridor, one of the world's busiest stretches of rail between Boston and Washington, D.C. Those funds could boost MTA projects like adding four new Metro North stops in the Bronx along Amtrak's tracks, also known as Penn Station Access, the recently revived Penn Station redesign, and the Gateway Tunnel project under the Hudson River. Okay, so there you have it, though. I'm glad this fucking feud and stupid politics actually got settled, because, you know, you got to think about the people who are taking mass transit, like your subways and your buses and stuff. Like, you got to think about them. This is not about you and your egotistical ways and shit, man. Like, come on. I'm actually satisfied with the fact that they actually got along with a compromise. That I can applaud too. Okay. All right. That was your New York Mass Transit. That was your New York Mass Transit Files segment. Now we're going to go to the main segment, and that's Chatting on the Jazz. For those of you who may not know what Chatting on the Jazz is, this is... Hold on. Let me just put myself on screen real quick. Hold on. For those of you who may not know what's Chatting on the Jazz, this is basically about a segment in terms of not just the trending topics, but particular stories that don't get the recognition. And, you know, I like to cover, you know, particular, you know, topics that don't get the recognition compared to the trending topics. Now, this show is basically a combination of serious and funny stories. So, and for those of you who may not know what's going on, we are live and direct on StreamYard, YouTube, and also I am live on my Instagram live right now. In case anybody knows that I'm actually here. Hold on a minute. Anyway, So let's continue, shall we? All right. So let's see. What's the first thing I want to do, actually? Oh, okay. Okay, we got some terrible, terrible, tragic news right here. There's a man who goes by the name of Virgil Abloh, who basically died. Basically, let's get into this, shall we? So Virgil Abloh, the distinguished fashion designer who created Off-White and served as the men's artistic director for Louis Vuitton, has died. He was 41 years old, according to an Instagram post that appeared on his account Sunday, November 28th, which passed already. Abloh died after battling a rare form of cancer called cardiac angiosarcoma. This is a new one that This is a new one that I never even heard of before, but that shit sounds serious, man. You know what I mean? So in quote, "We are devastated to announce the passing of our beloved Virgil Abloh, a fiercely devoted father, husband, son, brother, and friend," the caption reads. "For over 2 years, Virgil valiantly battled a rare aggressive form of cancer, cardiac angiosarcoma. He chose to endure his battle privately since his diagnosis in 2019, undergoing numerous challenging treatments, all while helming several significant institutions that span fashion, art, and culture. Though it was all his work, ethic, infinite curiosity, and optimism never wavered." Hold on a minute here. Abloh, a protege of Kanye West, rose to the top of sartorial circles by blending high fashion with streetwear. He was born on September 30th, 1980, in Rockwell, Illinois, to Ghanaian immigrant parents. In college, he studied civil engineering and received his Master's of Architecture from the Illinois Institute of Technology. In 2009, Abloh interned at Fendi and opened up the Chicago-based boutique RSVP Gallery with Don C. The following year, he was appointed creative director of Ye's Donda agency, already having made a name for himself. Abloh founded his first fashion company called Pyrex Vision in 2012. Per Vogue, Abloh would purchase dead stock Ralph Lauren flannel shirts for $40 each and screen print the word Pyrex on them and the number 23. He sold the shirts for $550 each. In 2013, Abloh founded Off-White, a luxe streetwear label that many perceive to be his chef d'oeuvre. He described the Milan, Italy-based brand as the gray area between black and white, as the color Off-White. Air quotes, capital letters, barricade tape, and zip ties become the brand's consistent motifs, and by 2016, Off-White was ready to be modeled on runways at Paris Fashion Week. Numerous collaborations with companies such as Nike, Jimmy Choo, Moncler, Sunglass Hut, Timberland, Champion, one of my favorite clothings, and IKEA helped elevate Off-White's in-demand status. A blob was named the artistic director of Louis Vuitton's menswear collection in 2018, becoming the French fashion house's first African-American artistic director. Virgil was driven by his dedication to his craft and to his mission to open doors for others and create pathways for greater equality in art and design. The caption announcing his death reads, the celebrated fashion designer who once said, "In my mind, I haven't done any work yet. I just made a case for why my point of view is valid," is survived by his wife, Shannon Ablot, his children, Lo Ablot and Gray Ablot, his sister, Edwina Ablot, his parents, Nee and Eunice Ablot. Rest in power, Virgil Ablot. Yeah, man. But, you know, I guess the moral of the story is when it comes to, you know, taking care of yourself, is that, you know, health is wealth. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just how I feel about it, though. You know what I mean? And speaking of health is wealth, let's talk LL Cool J. So death has a way of making people think about the bigger picture. In the wake of Virgil Abloh's passing at just 41 years old, life perhaps feels a bit more fragile to those who loved him. As UTFO legend Kango Kidd continues to fight for his life at North Shore University Hospital in Manhasset, which is in Long Island, folks. He got a special visit from a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame legend, which undoubtedly lifted his spirits. On Tuesday, November 30th, Kango shared an Instagram photo of himself in a hospital bed, shaking hands with the inimitable LL Cool J, who's sporting a smirk for the camera. Judging by the smile on Kango's face, it was a moment he'll not soon forget. "Need I say more?" he wrote in the caption, in quote, "I stepped out of the recovery room and was greeted by this guy. Maybe you've heard of him. Ladies and gentlemen, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Goat himself, LL Cool J." LL Cool J rocked the bells, visited me, and elevated my healing energies in ways doctors can never duplicate. Thank you, baby bro. I love you, my man. Wow. That's pretty touching. Yeah, that's pretty touching right there. Yeah, that's pretty touching right there. So, LL Cool J sampled the UTFO single "Leader of the Pack" for his 1987 song "Get Down" from his sophomore album "Bigger and Deafer." Both artists also came up around the same time. LL Cool J dropped his inaugural album in 1985, which was the year that I was born, while UTFO released their self-titled debut that same year. Kango Kidd received a stage 4 colon cancer diagnosis in February, but his condition has grown increasingly dire over the last few months. In October, Kango revealed he's been hospitalized and needed to undergo surgery the following day. "Please forgive me for not returning calls and more," he explained in an Instagram post. "Things have become and are becoming a little more difficult than imagined. I've been admitted again for complications related to my condition. Thank you to those who have been instrumental in my latest ordeal. Your actions have been well received and greatly appreciated. I am blessed to have you by my side through this. I love you all, Kang."
Wow. Speaking to Pix 11 News, in March, Kanga opened up his initial surgery, which required 10 centimeters of his colon to be removed. The 54-year-old also shared the graphic details that led him to get a colonoscopy in the first place. There was definitely discomfort in the belly, he said. One of the signs you would see immediately is bleeding, and you'll notice this as you wipe, or you'll see it in your stool. So I was definitely experiencing that. But what really set it off was I'm in the comfort of my own room and I had to pass gas, and it came out with a substance. It was a bloody mucus. What? He continued, I didn't believe it. That's the last thing you want to hear. When those words were said to me, I fell out inside. I stood up after a while, spoke to my friends who kept my spirits up through all this, and my mentality just changed. Like, you gotta fight this. Of course, there was a GoFundMe that has been launched in Kanga's name to help with medical costs, so he's able to focus on healing. The original goal of $10,000 was met and has been increased to $30,000 as the bills pile up. You can donate to this link right here that says here on the website of the article that I'm reading, which is hiphopdx.com/news. So there you have it, though, man. Yeah, man. Man, this is some heavy shit, man. And as I said before, man, health is wealth. I mean, everybody is, you know, everybody's just has a way of trying to recover, and like I said, man, like, you know, there's certain stuff that we eat that we got to be careful on what we have in our bodies and stuff. And I'm not saying everybody got to be fucking vegan, folks, so don't get it twisted. I'm not saying that. Because being vegan and vegan foods are very expensive. So that's not what I'm saying here. All I'm saying is from two particular sad articles that I've been reading, I want every single one of you, especially the listeners and especially the watchers on YouTube, that's been, you know, listening to this and watching this, I want you guys to take care of yourselves, your health. I mean, health comes first before anything else. You know the rest. So there you go, man. Just thought I'd actually say this before I go to the next topic. Yeah, let me take a drink a sec. Hold on, folks. Okay. Okay, we gotta talk about the price gouging shit at the pump. All right. Okay, so we're discussing the monthly retail price of gasoline in the United States of 2021. So, according to this article, gasoline prices in the United States of all grades followed similar trends between January 2019 and October 2021, reaching its highest level in October 2021 after a cyber attack on the pipeline caused a disequilibrium between supply and demand in May of that same year. Excuse me. The previous year showed a trough in April 2020 at an average of $1.95 US dollars per gallon. The continuous inexpensiveness of fuel between March and May 2020 is attributed to low demand amid the coronavirus pandemic. Impact of COVID-19 on fuel prices. Of course, the cost of gasoline in the United States is dictated by the supply and cost of light crude oil. As crude oil demand halted due to the COVID-19 pandemic, oil prices plummeted, making gasoline in the United States its cheapest in nearly 20 years. In April 2020, gasoline demand in the United States was half of what it was in April 2019. 1 year on, the price of gasoline has reached its highest level in 2021. So the differences in fuel grades. Fuel grades at U.S. gas stations are differentiated by the octane level of the gasoline. Higher grade fuels have higher octane levels, meaning that the fuel can be compressed more in the engine. This enables high performance engines to create more power. Fuel may also vary from state to state and pump to pump. Some cities also have regulations on gasoline in order to improve air quality. Bioethanol is added to gasoline in some cases to meet the renewable fuel standard. The content of bioethanol is not regulated, but can be around 10%. And okay. So monthly retail of gasoline in the United States from January 2019 to October 2021 by type. So basically, okay, we'll go to month and a year. So month and a year, of course, this is October, all right. So in October is all grades, all formulations, retail gasoline price. October 2021. 3.38, September 2021, 3.27. Wow. Regular all formulations retail gasoline price 3.29, 3.18, 3.88. Of course, this is the mid-grade all formulations retail gasoline price, premium all formulations retail gasoline price. So basically this is just a chart of all the prices and stuff. I'm not gonna go through all this, but you guys are more than welcome to actually look up the chart yourselves at this website called statista.com/statistics. Statista.com. All right, that's where you can look up the price gouging of gasoline. All right, that's the website on statista.com/statistics. And look, I'm human and I actually tend to mess up, but anyway, man, I'm not even gonna get into all the butchering and shit like that though, man. Let's keep going with this shit. Let's talk Dame Dash, shall we? Of course, This one is an interesting, good one right here. So the murder of infamous drug kingpin and federal informant Alberto Apple Martinez drew a considerable amount of public interest, in large part due to his character in the 2002 crime drama Paid in Full, played by fellow Harlem mate rapper Cam'ron. Damon Dash, an executive producer of Paid in Full, revealed that Martinez's death opens the door for a sequel to the film, which he plans to spearhead in an attempt to bring the story full circle and give viewers closure. Paid in Full is a reflection of everything I've learned, and I am really going to see it through now that there's an ending, Dash explained to Page Six. So this is going to dramatically change based on what happened Sunday. I was stuck on how to really approach it, and this is actually giving me more clarity. Okay. Dash, a Harlem native himself, was one of the most prominent figures involved in the making of Paid in Full, which was released under Rockefeller Films. Having come of age during the 80s and witnessed the events that transpired amid the crack epidemic that ravaged the neighborhood, the brass mogul made it his personal duty to tell the story of Harlem's most famous hustlers from that era in an accurate and tasteful fashion. And he plans to follow that blueprint if he were to ever follow through with a sequel to Paid in Full. Paid in Full was a classic. Paid in Full was a classic, boasted the 50-year-old. To even touch it again, I got to come better. So the story got to be straight. Everybody's thinking it's got to be tight and based on the fact that I have creative control. I can do things the right way. Shit's going to be incredible. He also revealed that a sequel to the film would also glean inspiration from former kingpin turned entrepreneur Kevin Chiles' book, Crack Era, The Rise, Fall, and Redemption of Kevin Chiles, which was released in 2019. A lot of it talks about the environment and what a lot of people were going through, that said of Chiles' book. End quote. I just like the way he broke down the mechanics and logistics of hustling. Given its status as a cultural classic and one of the greatest crime flicks of its era, a sequel to Paid in Full is already highly anticipated and will hopefully see the light of day sometime in the near future. Until then, check out the original trailer for Paid in Full below. So this is going to be a wait and see, folks. So there's no word on when it's going to when the filming is going to happen. So this is going to be a wait and see. So remains to be seen. All right. Now we are going to go to Eminem. All right. Okay. So Eminem plays legendary teenage drug dealer White Boy Rick, and you've never seen the rapper look quite like this. Wow. Oh, man. Since starring in his classic 2002 biopic, 8 Mile, Eminem's movie and TV appearances have been few and far between. He's had cameos in Funny People, Entourage, and The Interview. And now the latest entrant to M's on-screen canon comes by way of a cameo in his old friend 50 Cent's new star series, BMF, which is Black Mafia Family. So Eminem appears on the show as White Boy Rick, the legendary teenage drug member turned FBI informant who inspired both a 2018 Matthew McConaughey movie and a Netflix documentary. White Boy Rick Warshay Jr., now 52, was arrested when he was 17 for possession of 8 kilos of cocaine and sentenced to life in prison in 1987. Warshay was paroled in 2020 after serving the longest sentence of any nonviolent minor in Michigan history. He claims that the FBI and Detroit police groomed him to be an undercover drug informant starting when he was 14. Bro Bible reports that fans got an unexpected look at Slim Shady's rare role due to a technical mistake by Stars last week. And this is what it says. Fans got a sneak peek of the episode featuring Eminem on Sunday, where there was a technical glitch on the Stars app that accidentally released the episode. The episode starring Eminem was yanked shortly after, but screen caps and video clips of an unrecognizable Eminem leaked onto the internet. Here's a look at some of the screen grabs, videos, and stuff. So, wow. Yeah, he look mad different, man. I swear, without the facial hairs. Wow. So the Stars BMF episode featuring Eminem as White Boy Rick officially drops on November 14th, which was last month. But the leak left BMF executive producer 50 Cent fuming about the foul up, even as the rapper turned TV shot caller who directed the episode thanked his longtime friend and collaborator for appearing in BMF. Episode 7 of BMF is the best work I have done directing to date, 50 Cent wrote on Twitter. I'm disappointed that Stars handled this so poorly. I used my personal relationships to make things happen they couldn't have made happen. So Eminem, thank you for doing this for me. I love you, bro. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, although I never really got into BMF or the Power book 2's prequel and Raising Kanan. I never really got into it and stuff, but from the pictures I seen, it looks pretty interesting though, man. Let's see. Now that I got that out the way, let's go to our next topic. Our next topic has to do with surprisingly there's some rappers that's been appearing in the ABC7's TV series Queens. First it was Cameron. Now you have, of course, Jadakiss. I didn't even know Jadakiss was in this, so I'm actually gonna get through this. Anyway, so okay, if you are not caught up with Queens, tune in now to enjoy all the music and drama, which was last month. Just as ABC's Queens is becoming a household staple on primetime, things are only heating up with the announcement of upcoming guest appearances. As the Queens, formerly known as Nasty Bitches, prepare for their American Music Awards performance, in the wake of personal tragedy, they hope it will solidify their comeback. In a preview of episode 5 entitled Do Anything for Clout, fans learn rapper Fivio Foreign will make his way into the mix. During behind the scenes moments shared from the cast during filming, Jadakiss will also be making his guard entrance on the series, reportedly during episode 5 as well. It is unclear the exact role each rapper will play within the series. Cameron made his Queens debut during episode 2, Heart of Queens, as explicit lyrics on Naomi's Brandy, Former Flame. Oh boy. on Wednesday, November 10th, which was last month. Naturi Norton, who plays Jill the Thrill, shared a photo on Instagram that will also have Queens fans waiting on the edge of their sofas with anticipation, because Wyclef Jean will also be appearing on the drama series. The singer wrote, "The cat is out the bag. Wyclef Jean is here. Queens, ABC, y'all ain't ready." Ah, man. With a lineup like this, we're equally excited to hear what music continues from these guests. Check out Cameron's feature on the Queens single, Heart of Queens, below. And Queens, for those of you who don't know about it, it airs Tuesday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern on ABC and streams the next day on Hulu. And there you have it, though, man. You know, I've been so busy lately, I haven't even had a chance to actually, you know, catch up on some episodes of Queens, actually. I only watched maybe one or two episodes and stuff. Maybe one. I'm not too sure if I watched the second one, but I'll get into that maybe this weekend. Who knows? Depends on how I feel, actually. So last but not least, last week was Thanksgiving. So last year there was no parade because of the pandemic. So this one has to do with the Thanksgiving parade that actually returned to the that actually made its return to New York City. So this is what happened. So New York crippled by the coronavirus pandemic last year, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade returned Thursday in full, though with precautions. Balloons, floats, marching bands, clowns, and performers. And, of course, Santa Claus once again wended, though, 2.5 miles, 4 kilometers of Manhattan streets instead of being confined to one block or sometimes pre-taped last year. spectators shut out in 2020 lined the route again. High school and college marching bands from around the country were invited back to the lineup. Most of last year's performers were locally based to cut down on travel. The giant balloons tethered to vehicles last year got their costume handlers back, and celebrities were in tow. So one of the most memorable guest appearances came from the Blues Clues host Steve Burns, Donovan Patton, and Joshua De La Cruz, who got the range back together. Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, it was watched by millions, but how and when did the parade first start? Of course, yeah. So Blues Clues host reunite on float. Steve Burns says it feels just like yesterday he was on show. Nearly 20 years after the original Blues Clues host abruptly left the children's show to go to college, Burns returned with fellow hosts Patton and De La Cruz for a reunion that left many fans emotional. Burns, Patton, and De La Cruz performed "You Can't Spell Blue Without You" together on this year's Blues Clues float, which has been a part of the festival since 1999, according to parade host Savannah Guthrie. It feels just like yesterday that you asked us to play. Stop shirt, notebook, but that wasn't all it took. Through the seasons, through the years, there's a reason we're still here. The trio sang in celebration of the generations of fans who supported the series for the last 25 years. Wow. Love seeing all the blue hashtag Blues Clues and you fam together at the hashtag Macy's Parade. Tweeted Nickelodeon, the show's network, anyone else suddenly getting really emotional. Someone was definitely cutting onions in the not the onions, man. Oh man, not the fucking onions, man. Oh man, man, you're not gonna see me cutting onions, man. And it's gonna make, cause you know onions make people cry though. so seeing Steve on the Blues Clues float has made my holiday complete. Of course, Jacqueline Cangro tweeted, user at MS Watt 94 added, not me bawling over the Blues Clues float and performance in the hashtag Macy's Parade. Burris hosted the show from 1996 to 2002 and was closely associated with its success in catering to preschool age kids. He was replaced by Donovan Patton as Steve's younger brother, Joe, from 2004 to 2007. De La Cruz hosted the revival Blues Clues and You since 2019.
You know, I wasn't even into Blues Clues like that, though, when I was little. And I didn't even know when it came out, though. That's crazy. So, of course, you know, President Biden calls out Roker, America is back. To President Joe Biden, the parade's full-fledged return was a sign of renewal, and he called NBC broadcaster Al Roker on air to say so. Oh my gosh, look at who's calling, the Today Show host said while showing the president's face pop up on his phone. After 2 years, we're back. America is back. There's nothing we're unable to overcome, Biden said over the phone from Nantucket, Massachusetts, where he was watching the broadcast with his family. Roker responded, thank you so much. I hope you are going to continue to watch the parade. Santa is coming. Santa is coming, Mr. President. I'm waiting for Santa, Biden replied. NBC News' Andrea Mitchell shared a picture of the sweet encounter on Twitter. The photo shows the first couple smiling in front of the television as they lean into a cell phone held by Biden. Okay. And of course, you got Harry Connick Jr. looks unrecognizable as Daddy Warbucks from Annie Live. Daddy Warbucks is in the house. Connick Jr. made his first live appearance as Daddy Warbucks at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade Thursday alongside Annie Live co-star Selena Smith. The duo sang, I don't need anything but you, after climbing out of an old school car. His signature hair was nowhere in sight. Connick Jr. donned a full white suit and a bald cap, which appeared to catch people's eye, not in a good way, apparently. Harry Connick Jr. is playing Jeff Bezos in the TV version of Annie. At Joe Pantillo tweeted, user, done with every T6, added, is it just me or is Harry Connick Jr. in a ball cap the scariest thing ever? Oh, wow. Damn, he looked mad different. Annie Live will air December 2nd on NBC at 8 p.m. Of course, this already passed already. Well, yeah, that's tonight. Holy shit, it's tonight.
safety measures in place, vaccine mandate, masking. The Thanksgiving parade is the latest U.S. holiday event to make a comeback as vaccines familiarity and sheer frustration made officials and some of the public more comfortable with big gatherings amid the ongoing pandemic. Still, safety measures continued. Parade staffers and volunteers had to be vaccinated against COVID-19 and wear masks, though some singers and performers were allowed to shed them. There was no inoculation requirement for spectators, but Macy's and the city encouraged them to cover their faces. A popular pre-parade spectacle, the inflation of the giant balloons was limited to vaccinated viewers. Of course, large police presence at the Christmas parade tragedy. The Thanksgiving event also came days after an SUV plowed through a Christmas parade in suburban Milwaukee, killing 6 people and injuring over 60. Damn. Authorities said the driver, who has been charged with intentional homicide, was speeding away from police after a domestic dispute. Mayor Bill de Blasio said Wednesday there was no credible specific threat to the Thanksgiving parade, but the New York Police Department's security measures would be extensive as usual. I'm very confident in what the NYPD has prepared to keep everyone safe, he said. Thousands of police officers were assigned to the parade route from streets to rooftops. Cars were blocked from the parade route with sand-filled garbage bags. No, excuse me, sand-filled garbage trucks, other heavy vehicles, and approximately 360 pounds, 163,000 kilograms of concrete barriers. Bomb detecting dogs, bomb squad officers, heavy weapons team, radiation and chemical sensors, and over 300 extra cameras were also dispatched to the parade route. NYPD Chief of Counterterrorism Martine Mate Rosso said. Inside the barricades, the parade featured about 8,000 participants, 4 dozen balloons of varying sizes, and 2 dozen floats. Of course, the new Yoda float, more star appearances. Of course, new balloon giants joining the lineup include the title character from Netflix series Ada Twist, Scientist. The Pokemon characters, Pikachu and Eevee on a sled. Pikachu has appeared before in different form. And Grogu, aka Baby Yoda, from the television show The Mandalorian. New floats are coming from entities ranging from condiment maker Heinz to NBC Universal's Peacock streaming service to the Louisiana Office of Tourism. Entertainers and celebrities include Carrie Underwood, Jon Batiste, Nelly, Kelly Rowland, Miss America, Camille Schrier, the band Foreigner, and many others. Several Broadway musical casts and the Radio City Rockettes also performed. And yeah, so there you have it right there, man. I'm actually happy that the parade returned, man, because people needed this shit though, man. You know what I'm saying? And and I'll just say this though, let me just put myself back on screen. I'll say this though, man. People really needed this, because you don't want to be reminded of what went down last year with the whole pandemic and stuff, when there was nothing going on. And when Times Square was actually empty, it was looking like I Am Legend and fucking Purge movies and shit. So we can't afford to go into another lockdown, man. Despite the the new variant, which I will talk about in a future episode. I'm not going to discuss it here. So let me take a drink and then wrap up the show. Hold on. Hold on a minute. Okay. All right. Listen, that's going to do it for today's episode 92. You like what you heard in today's episode? Feel free to show some love by making a charitable donation to my Cash App, which is $GMoneyStacks555. That's $G, lowercase money, capital S, lowercase TACKZ 555. Once again, it's not about breaking the bank and having a lot of money to show more support. This is all about doing what you can in terms of whatever amount you want to donate will be appreciated. All right. So there you have it. So listen, I'm going to get to your comments in a second in Instagram Live. So let me just get through all this. You can follow the show on Facebook and Instagram, Off the Meat Rack Chains New York Podcast, all in one word. And alongside with my other shows, which is Excellent Fun Vibrant Podcast, and Meticulous Vibe Juice Podcast, which I will be recording next at 9 o'clock. And you can follow me on the gram, which is GMoneyStacks555 in Queens, New York, alongside with my other handle, which is 17 Live, GMoneyStacks Queens, New York. Since I'm taking a break from 17 Live, I figured I'd do a little experiment on how many people are going to watch on Instagram Live right here. So, you know what I'm saying? And now we're going to go over some of the streaming platforms where you can actually tune in and watch the show. So, give me a sec for me to find it. Hold on a sec. Okay. All right. Okay, so where you can listen to the episodes, you ask? You can listen to the show on Anchor, Audacity, Audible, Audio Burst, Amazon Music, Breaker, Castbox, FM, Deezer, Listen Notes, Player FM, Pocket Cast, Podcast Addict, Podfriend, Podbay, Podopolo, Podorama, of course, Podchaser. Don't forget to go to the two links of Podchaser and Podfriend so you can leave a 5-star rating. Even though you don't have anything to say on there, a 5-star rating will be appreciated. We are also on Reason FM, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn. And don't forget to listen to Off the Meat Rack Chains New York Podcast on Google Podcasts. Of course, I mentioned Audible. I mentioned Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, the number one app for music, radio, and podcasts. And last but not least, the YouTube. I want you to go grab the subscribe button on the YouTube channel page, GMoneyStacks555. Make sure you enable alerts alongside with the notification bell. And stay tuned for more video content, upcoming episodes, previous episodes. Leave a like and a comment alongside with the topics and episodes. And don't forget to download your favorite episodes, share the episodes,
along with the videos. Tell a friend to another friend. Spread the word. Make sure you share the podcast alongside with the audio streaming platforms, including the Linktree link that says Linktree/GMoneyStacks555. When you click on there, it's going to take you to a whole list of stream audio platforms that I just mentioned. So there you go. The link is going to be on both pages, which is GMoneyStacks555 in Queens, New York, and off the Meat Rack Chain's New York Podcast Show page. So you can't really miss that, all right? Now, make sure you reach out to your loved ones, all right? Especially your wives, your husbands, your boyfriends, your girlfriends, your friends, all that stuff. Because like we did earlier today in two stories with the passing of Virgil Abloh and the other person that was in the hospital, Kango Kid, who's also battling stage 4 cancer and stuff. So it would really, really mean a lot to yourselves to actually reach out to your friends, reach out to the people that you care about, because those individuals might be fine on the outside, but on the inside, they are not. And that's why I always push about the mental health thing, because, you know, there's some podcast shows that's actually talking about mental health and stuff. But because I'm not a therapist or anything like that, I figured I'd look up some articles of people and what they're going through and stuff. So, you know what I'm saying? And that's why I created the hashtag into a segment of mental health check-in, because it shows that I care in terms of, you know, people's well-being. And that's what mental health check-in is about. It's about your well-being and what you're feeling on the inside. You know what I mean? And there you have it. So, you guys want some free game on how to start a podcast? I got you. Listen, I'm going to tell you some important equipment that you need. So here we go. The first thing that you need is headphones. You need a microphone. And you also need a laptop or a computer so you can do your live streams. Also, you need a software that will support that as far as like, you know, StreamYard, which I am going to recommend. For those of you who may not know what StreamYard is, StreamYard is basically a software that I'm using to record my podcast episodes from my YouTube channel, which is GMoneyStacks555. Of course, make sure every listener that's listening to this, make sure you subscribe and do everything. All right. So with this software, it has creation tools. Like, it gives you the tools for you to create segments, create banners of where people can follow your shows, like your podcast shows, your radio shows, clothing line, whatever business stuff that you have, it's all in the creation tools featured in there. Like the banner I have right now has the name of the show right here, and the social media handles where people could find me and shows and stuff. So that's basically what that is. And I say it's better than Zoom because of audio technicalities and stuff. So therefore, I'm recommending that you guys use StreamYard. And what I like about this is that you get to invite up to six people. You get to share invite links to people that have email addresses and phone number contacts. So there you go, right there. And of course, I use a hosting site called Anchor. If you'd like to be interested in creating a podcast, and if you have a dream of doing it, like I'm doing right now with three shows under my belt, don't worry, I got you. You can download the Anchor app along, or you can check out the website anchor.fm so you can actually get a head start on that. Also, when you are creating a name of your show podcast, you want to come up with something that nobody has ever heard before. Don't worry about the fucking garbage burgers who are just hating and shit, man. You know what you do? You picture them as fucking pound cake and you eat them alive, metaphorically speaking, like this. And that's your little free game on how to start a podcast and all the creation tools for StreamYard that you could actually learn how to do as far as creating, websites, social media handles, name of your show that appears on your YouTube screen that you see right here, and along with this banner scrolling across your screen. And of course, the segments and everything else. And, you know, that's going to do it for me, man. So, I hope you guys enjoyed the episode like I'm doing right now. I'm enjoying every single bit of it. And I do appreciate the particular states that took a chance to listen. And as I was looking on Anchor on the Pennsylvania, and I never knew that, first of all, when I saw the air, when I was like, wait a minute, I saw the area media. I was like, what? Media? I'm like, wait a minute, media is the name of the area? That's the TV. Oh, man. Oh, my goodness. That's crazy, man. So the people in Pennsylvania, alongside with, you know, Chicago and everybody, Illinois, California and all these other states, including the five boroughs areas of New York that actually took a chance and listened. And of course, all over the world, including Canada. Thank you so much for listening to me and rocking with me. I'm G Money Stacks. I am about to clock out. And I hope you enjoyed this episode like I did. And make sure you wash your hands with soap and water, hand sanitizer. Make sure you have your water alongside with a Gatorade with electrolytes for strength and energy. And of course, stay masked up, be careful, be mindful of the people that you're surrounded with. And if there's too many people at an event like performance venues, music concerts or whatever, make sure you stay covered up so you don't have to be like the person who contracted the disease from South Africa and, of course, other places. So that new variant will be discussed in a future episode. So that's it, man. G-Money clocking out. I'll see you next time. Peace and love. And you guys have a good night, folks. Listen, folks, if you like what you heard, I need your help on a couple things. If you like to support Off the Meat Rack Chain's New York podcast, you can show some love by following the show on Facebook and Instagram with the same name at Off the Meat Rack Chain's NY podcast. OFFTHEMEATRACKCHAINZNYPODCAST. Alongside with my primary Instagram handle, GMoneyStacks555 in Queens, New York. And go to the YouTube channel, GMoneyStacks555. Be sure to click the subscribe button. Grab the notification bell so you can be reminded on when the show goes on the air live via live stream. More video content, upcoming episodes, previous episodes that will automatically be posted after the recordings. Like, comment on the episodes with the topics, share the videos, download your favorite episodes, rate, spread the word to a friend, to other individuals. Please be sure to share the podcast with audio stream choices to your friends. The audio streaming services includes Anchor, Audio Burst, Breaker, Deezer, Listen Notes, Player FM, Pocket Cast, Podbay, Podfriend, Podcast Addict, Podorama, Podchaser, Reason FM, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. I'm G Money Stacks, and thank you, listeners and watchers, for tuning into the podcast. One love.